Well, I remember in when I was in the sixth grade, my teacher asked where we were born, and all children were born in the city I grew up in, with except for me and one other boy. He was from a city nearby, and I was from China. And then I felt like, I'm really the only one that's not from here. But I think it helped to be not really the only one. It was nice that there were at least some other people that had the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think from a young age, my classmates knew I was adopted from China. I don't know the English word, but in the third grade, in the Netherlands, in the third grade, you have to start giving like presentations about a topic you like. And I did mine about China. For my classmates, it was normal that I was from China, but that was when I was 12, so my classmates were also old enough to start asking questions, like you said, and they asked about my birth family, and they asked whether I had been back to China, and I felt really uncomfortable because, it's another story, but I was bullied in primary school, so I didn't like my classmates very much. And when they started to ask these questions, I remember that I looked at the teacher like, do I have to answer this? And then I said, teacher, I don't like this. And then she said, no, we can stop. So I didn't answer the questions.
So when you were in primary school, you were bullied. What was that about? What happened there?
I think the stereotypical things, you know, when they do the eyes and the ni hao stuff, and just like being, I think the actions were very small to the bullies, but it made quite an impact on me, because I already felt different, and then they emphasized that so much. When it's a child's birthday in the Netherlands, you bring candy or cake or something else to school, and then you give it to your classmates, and then mostly you get to stand in front of the class, and then everybody sings songs like Happy Birthday. But it was a tradition to sing that song, that Happy Birthday song, like in French and in German and many languages, because the children like to sing in other languages. But they also sang it in Chinese, but it wasn't really Chinese. They sang Hunky Punky Shanghai, and I really hated that song. It's really weird because in the French version and the German version, they did actually sing in that language, but in Chinese, because no one speaks Chinese here, they just made something up. But my teachers never stopped the class, because I don't know why they didn't, but it never crossed their mind that I might be offended by it. And I told my parents that I didn't like the song, but I didn't have the courage to tell my teacher myself. So I think it was third grade again. I told my father, and there was like an information evening at school where they to discuss your grades and have a talk with the teacher. And then he went there and told her that I didn't like it. So that year she cut it off. But when I proceeded to the next year, to the fourth grade, it was again, because I again didn't have the courage to tell my teacher, and they didn't think about it themselves.
Was that the first time that you ever had to really think about, how do I talk about my adoption? How do I present the fact of my adoption to others?
No, I remember when I was in kindergarten, when I was 5. I don't remember it myself. My mother told me, but then some children told me that I was bought in a store. Yeah, at the age as young as 5, children started doing that. And then I came home to my mother crying, did you buy me? And then she said, no, we didn't, and she explained what happened. My parents have always been very open, and I think she explained it in a way that I would comprehend as a 5-year-old. But she has always emphasized that my parents loved me but just couldn't take care of me. And that was why they came to China and took care of me.
What do you think was going on with the teachers? as you look back.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot because now I've obtained my bachelor's degree in education and now I'm proceeding with a master's degree. So, yeah, I've learned a lot about education and I think it's difficult because some teachers were very good, others were not. And I think they should have thought more about having an adopted child in their class, but I think they didn't have any experience with it. My mother provided some information with, like, she brought web pages, prints, or other information books that she had, and my teachers borrowed them. Well, not all, but some that were interested. But I think they just didn't know how to handle it. Because, like, I performed quite well in primary school, so they always provided me with extra challenging work and so just stuff. So I think they wanted to do what was right for me, but and did so academically, but failed to do it socially, I think.
And your classmates, were you ever able, did you ever get to the point where you were old enough to confront any of this with them? How did it evolve as you got older?
I think it got worse when I got older because the children started to realize more that I was different. Like when I was in the third grade, the children were younger, but in the sixth grade, everyone knew you are the person that doesn't belong here. And my teacher in the sixth grade was not very good, so like the classroom climate was messed up, I think, and it was just not a good ambience in the classroom. So I was really glad to finish primary school.
How were things in the upper grades?
Many of the bullies in the sixth grade were not performing very well academically, so they went to the lowest track, so I got rid of them. but there were others. I came into a classroom with all children that performed well. So my parents were like, oh, now the bullying is over, these children are like smarter and they won't do it to you. But it started again. I think it hasn't really, maybe to a certain extent it has to do with intelligence, but also with, you know, in high school, it's really competitive to be popular and you have to, like, fight for your spot. And I think that's all across tracks. I think it's everywhere.
So how does the bullying manifest itself in high school? How did it play out as you got older?
Well, it wasn't really specifically aimed at me being Chinese, but just me as a person. I once asked a boy, why do you bully me? Is it because I'm Chinese? And he said, no, it's not. It's just because I don't like who you are. So I don't want to, like, say it's my fault, but I think I could understand a little bit why they did it, because not only as being Chinese, but also as a person, I might have been a bit different, because I wanted to do well, and sometimes... like when children interrupted the lesson, I would say, like, I want to listen to the teacher. And when I look back at it, I think that wasn't very smart of me to do. Being Chinese is different, but when you're also different with respect to motivation and drive and stuff, then you're really totally different. I think it was the combination that made it worse.
So how did you deal with this? What was this like for you? And how did it make you think about yourself?
It was really difficult because it was, I remember in the second class of high school, there was some issue in the classroom and someone said something and I didn't like it, but at that time, I did have the courage to tell the teacher, so I did, and she broke it up. But these things didn't really happen, like overtly. Is that the right word? They didn't do it just in the middle of the classroom, but they did it like, it was really small things that made me feel like I was an outsider. Like the girls that went shopping or did other things and didn't invite me, or much gossiping. Not necessarily about me, but sometimes like just pointing, and I don't know. I did have two good friends with whom I could spend time at school. But in the after the third year, one of my friends went to a different track, and the other, she decided some other girls were nicer to hang out with. So then I was a bit on my own in the fourth year, and I think it also has to do with like the phase of life you go through in high school. You become an adult, and puberty is difficult for everyone, I think. But everyone starts looking for their identity in puberty, but because I didn't really know who I was, it was difficult. And having these problems at school also, it was like it was on top of each other.
Do you ever wonder, like, what might have helped you have a clearer sense of who am I at that point?
I think in high school it would have really been helpful to know more about my background, because up until today I know hardly anything. I think that's the right term. And I think during high school, when I would have known, for example, how I was abandoned, or why, or most optimally, I would have wanted to know who my parents are, but I still want to know that, and I think that's impossible to request. But more information, like now I don't know anything, and if I would have known little pieces of it during high school, I think it would have felt more comfortable to know at least a bit. And I think today I'm older, so I can how do I express it? I'm better at like putting things in perspective. When I was like 16, I would be like very like desperate. I'm never gonna find my parents, and I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know who I was, and it was like one big misery. But now I'm older, and I can reason about it, and I still struggle with it, but I've got more resources. I'm old enough now to take DNA tests or to do some research on my own. It's, and also like as a person, my mindset has changed. I've grown from these experiences in high school, so I think I'm much better at handling the stuff right now.
Are you doing DNA, and have you thought about searching for birth parents?
Well, in 2014, I went back to China with my parents and my sister, and we went to the CCCWA in Beijing, and our guide read my document, and she noticed that I was not from downtown Xi'an, but from a little village 30 kilometers away, and I didn't know that up until then, so I was really happy to have at least discovered something. And then we went by cab to that village, and we went to the police station, but there was a name mentioned in the file, but that person didn't work at the police station anymore. But it was just like a route trip to visit China and see the country, so it wasn't really a search trip. So my parents asked me, do you want to do anything else here? And then I said, no, it's okay. I've seen the police station, I've seen the village where I was found. So then we went back to the hotel, and that was it for the trip. But actually, this afternoon, I put my DNA in the 23andMe kit, because like 2 weeks ago, I noticed the offer for Thanksgiving, but it was only for U.S. customers, so a friend of mine ordered them, sent them to me, and I will send them back next week. So I'm very excited about that. I've known about 23andMe for several years, but a few years ago, it wasn't that booming as it is right now, I think. Yeah, you could do it, but it's not really, really used very often now, so you can also wait. So I decided to wait and just see what the developments would be. And now I notice in several groups that more and more adoptees are taking 23andMe. And like in the last month, I've seen 3 announcements that people found their parents, or from birth parents that their child found their parents. But that gives me hope. I was like, it's happening more and more often. And most of the time, these people did 23andMe. So I was like, maybe I should do it as well. And then I saw the offer and I was like, okay, now I have to do it, because it's a good offer and I've been wanting this for some time, so now is the time. So I hope to find like relatives as close as possible. It would be nice to find like a cousin or so, but I realize that's really difficult. So I've prepared myself for you're not going to find anything, so it can only be better. We all thought this was a family. So I had contact with my possible sister on WeChat, and I've been preparing myself a bit for like, what do I want to ask them, and am I going to visit them? But then it turned out they weren't the family, but my point is that I've spent some time thinking about it. And I think, I'm not angry with my birth family, because I think it's not, I believe they wanted the best for me, because I, my parents always told me I was, how do I explain this logically? I spent some time in an English-run baby unit, so it was, but my parents said it was of higher quality. And I'm still in contact with my caretaker. It's a woman who lives in the United Kingdom, and I speak to her every now and then. But my parents said maybe your Chinese parents left you near that baby unit on purpose, because they wanted you to be taken good care of. And I don't know if that's true, but it comforted me as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've never considered my birth family to be like, we don't want you, or you're not loved. So I've always felt like they did love me and they did want me, but they were just unable to take care of me. Also because I have the cleft lip and palate, so, and I'm a girl. So I think all these reasons were like too much to keep me. So I'm not angry, but I would like to know why they abandoned me, because now I'm just guessing and assuming, but I'd like to know the truth. And I want to know my birthday. During puberty, I've struggled a lot with this, because my estimated birthday is May 1st, but it could either be late April or early May, but I don't know. Like, because it's the first day of a new month, I can't even be sure what month it was. So, it feels really... Well, now I'm older, I don't have that many problems with it anymore, but during high school, I hated my birthday, because I didn't know if it was my birthday, and like a week before and a week after, those 14 days, I would be thinking, is it now, or is it tomorrow, is it today? And I would go on and on, and I would like to know what actually is my birthday, and I'd like to know to what extent I look like my parents. Do I have physical resemblance with them, or characteristical? Because to me, it's very normal to be non-related to my family. I can't even imagine what it's like to look at your mother and know that she looks like you. So I would like to experience that feeling. Like, these are my parents, and to what extent do we look like each other? When I was struggling in high school, I felt like when I don't find them, I'll never be happy. And yeah, I didn't. It sounds a bit harsh, but I felt like my life didn't have any purpose if I wouldn't find them. I was like, my life is useless. I have to find them, and if I don't, I might as well stop living or something. I didn't, like, I was very desperate about it, and I felt like that was the only thing I should achieve in life. But now I'm older, and it's not that I would still be very, very upset if I wouldn't find them. And I'm not entirely sure. I can't look into the future, so I don't know how I will feel like when I haven't found them at 50 or 60. But at least I know I can live until 50 or 60 without finding them. I can handle it. You know what I mean? It used to be impossible for me to live my life without having found them, but now, yeah, it will be very difficult, very tough to keep not knowing anything about myself, but I found more ways to cope with it, and I think I might be able to handle it now.
I'm wondering, when all this has been going on and you've been wrestling with it, what has been the role, if any, of your adoptive parents? Have you been able to talk with them about this? How do they react? And have you been able to talk honestly with them? Do they offer to help you? What's that been like?
I think it started when I was 13. Then I wanted to search for my parents, and in the Netherlands there is a TV show that reunites adoptive children with their biological families. It's not really like, it could also be, it's not specifically for adoptive children, it's also for people that had lost a family member and can't find them anymore. Do you understand what I mean? It's such a show that reunites people, but quite often it was about adoptive children. So I wanted to sign up for the show, and my parents, I talked to them, and they were very very approving, and they said, yeah, you should do that, and just see what happens, and I signed up for it, but they turned my request down because I was too young. They said I had to be 18, so that was difficult for me, but my parents suggested other ways for me to search, and they were very supportive. Then when I got older and got, like, you know what you said, in this dark period, I experienced it more difficult to connect with them, because I was really really down. I think I went to school and I did what I had to do, but I was really upset and didn't feel well, and part of it was because of the identity struggles, and part of it was because of the bullying. And every once in a while I told them, and then they would, like, for example, they arranged for me to talk to a therapist, and they did their best to find ways to help me, but it all didn't really work out very well. So even despite their attempts, I still felt like I was alone in that. So I know they were trying to do the best, but I felt like I felt distanced from them, I think. And then when I overcame that period, like, from, I think it was from 19 or 20s and until now, my view has changed, and I now realize I think that it was also difficult for them to see me like that and to not know how to help me. So I think parents being informed would be a good thing. Just not like that they have to take a whole course or something, but just knowing that puberty can be problematic for your adoptive child is good, I think. Then you are aware of it, and then you can watch your child more closely. I felt like I shouldn't bother them. So every once in a while, when I really couldn't handle it anymore myself, then I would talk to them and cry a lot and, you know, that stuff. But after that, I would keep it to myself until the next burst of stuff came out. Because I felt like it was... I didn't feel like they... I didn't feel like they could solve my problem, so I thought, why would I bother them with it? Because no one can solve it. So I'd better keep it to myself. And also the therapist I went to and my parents, everyone that asked, what can we do to help you? I would answer, find my family, find the answers I'm looking for. But that was not possible. So I ended up not... everyone that asked, what can we do? Were not able to do what I needed. So it was, it felt like I was stuck in a situation and couldn't get out.
Do you think it might have helped had they attempted on their own to find your birth family, whether or not it was successful? Or is it something you think should reside entirely with the adoptee?
First, I'd like to remark something else. I don't mean to be offensive to you or something like that, but the phrase coming home is difficult for me because I don't feel like I've come home. I feel like I've been taken away from what was supposed to be my home. So it's not like, I don't mind that you use the phrase, but I'd like to tell what I think about it. And about your question, I don't blame my parents for not having conducted a birth parent search when I was little, but I would have liked them to if they, I would have appreciated if they had done a birth parent search. I would have liked it if they had done that, but I don't blame them for not having. So it would have given me, it would have given me something concrete that I could elaborate in my own search, but yeah, so I would absolutely have appreciated it if they would have done it and told me what they find out.
And I'm interested in what you said about my saying coming home. So even now at 22, having gone through sort of the process and that we talked about and growing up and bullying and come through it and some more awareness, even now at this moment, you don't feel like you came home. You feel like you lost a home.
Yeah, that's also a very difficult thing because before I went to China in 2014, I always felt like I belong in China. But when I went to China in 2014, I came to realize that I also don't belong there because I don't speak Chinese. I'm not familiar with the culture, well, to a certain extent, but not as someone who lives there. It's different food, different weather, everything's different. And I felt like a tourist there. And all the Chinese people would stare at me and my parents like, what's that about? And then the traveling agency gave me a little card written in Chinese that I was adopted and these were my parents. And so I could show the card to these people that were staring like this. But it felt like I really felt like an outsider there. But I also sometimes feel like an outsider in the Netherlands. So I do feel like I've lost a home, but I'm not sure if it really is home. But here, I'm also not sure if this is home. So sometimes I get really, really... confused. Where is my home? Where do I belong? And then my friends and family here, they say, you belong here, and we wouldn't have wanted to miss you, and we're glad you're here. And in a way, I'm also glad I'm here, because I met my parents, I met my sister, I met my boyfriend, so... If I had to leave China anyway, then I'm glad that I ended up with these people. But in the first place, I wasn't supposed to leave. I should have grown up there. I should have spoken Chinese. I should have eaten their foods. I should have learned their culture. But now it's different. It feels like unnatural, because this was not the way it was supposed to be.
If you hadn't been bullied, if things had been kind of smooth sailing, do you think the question of the sort of painfulness of the question of identity would be what it is? Have you ever wondered that, or am I asking a totally unfair question?
No, I think it's a very fair question, and I've been thinking about it a lot during my life. And I think it's really connected to each other, because the bullying and the issues, they made me feel different. And I think if I would have been in a classroom with supportive classmates and a whole different environment, for example, if I would have grown up in Amsterdam, I certainly wouldn't have been the only foreigner. But I think all these things made me feel different, made me feel lonely. And when you feel different and lonely, you start to think about who you are. And that's when I came to the conclusion that I don't know who I am. So I think it influenced my thinking a lot, and I'm not entirely sure, but I think if this wouldn't have been the way, if things wouldn't have been the way they were now, I wouldn't have struggled this much, I think.
Now you're doing your master's in education, right?
Yeah.
And why? What do you hope to do with it? Tell me what your plans are.
I'm not entirely sure, but after my bachelor's degree was a combination of both educational sciences at the university and a teacher training program. So officially I'm a primary school teacher, and I've got the bachelor's degree in educational sciences. But I wanted to learn more about education, so that's why I decided to continue with the master's program. And I figured out for myself that I want to work in a job that has to do with educational sciences. So I don't see myself working as a teacher full time for 40 years, like you know. So I would like a job that combines practice and theory, because my bachelor's degree was also practice and theory. I really like the combination, and I like bridging both worlds. So I would like to work in like a educational publisher company or educational research company or something like that, and then combine it with a job in primary school. So like two days teaching and 3 days working as something else that has to do with education. But my master's program that I'm doing right now is a research master, so I'm really focused on doing research and theory and that stuff. So I'm not sure yet, but maybe I'd like to continue with enrolling in a PhD program. So that would mean I would have to study more after this master's program.
Do you think your experiences in school affected your, you know, influenced your career choice?
Well, it would sound logical, but I don't really feel that way. I think, despite my bad experiences in the classroom, I've always liked education. I've liked being educated myself, but I've also liked explaining things to other children. So that might explain why I was like, I have to listen to the teacher. I don't know, but. Yeah, so I don't think it's because I want to do better than my teachers, it's just because I've always been interested. So I think if my own education would have been a better experience, I would have chose the same career.
And so is this a more, you're in a bigger pool now. You're in a bigger place, a more diverse place?
Yeah, I live in a small town near Utrecht, but a lot of foreign people live there. Like, many people from Morocco and Turkey live in my village, but also African people, and it's more diverse, so I feel much more at ease in there because there are more foreign people, and it's normal to be non-white. It's so different from here.
I felt really happy to be able to share my story, and I hope to inspire people, like parents, I hope parents understand, get a grasp of what other peas can feel like, and that it might help them to support their child. And I hope
when adoptees listen to this story that they feel like they're not alone. Everyone has their struggles and everyone's in the same situation, but we can support each other.